Good afternoon, and welcome to the conference call for Fresenius Investor Relations, which is now starting. May I hand you over to Mrs. Birgit Grund, Investor Relations.
Good afternoon in Europe, good morning in the US. Welcome to our first half and second quarter earnings conference call and webcast. Thank you very much to everyone joining the call. I'm very pleased to introduce to you Marc Schneider, CEO of Fresenius, and Stefan Sturm, the CFO. I'd like to mention that today's call is being recorded, and I'd also like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement and disclaimer wording you can find on page 2 of the presentation. This cautionary language also applies to the presentation and Q&A session of today. We hope everybody has had a chance to take a look at the presentations on our website. Marc Schneider will now start with a general overview. Stefan Sturm will take care on the financials. And afterwards, management is prepared to answer your questions. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to Marc. Marc, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and welcome to our Q2 conference call participants today. As always, we appreciate your interest in our firm, and I believe that we have good news across the board to share with you today. The first half of 2012 has been a time of significant operating success, and as you know, some major strategic initiatives. The combination of these two proves our point that we only engage in significant M&A activity to expand and further strengthen a well-run business, but not to fix an underperforming business. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language to you, so let's move to the summary financial results on page 3. In the first half, we had sales of €9,236,000,000, EBIT of €1,440,000,000, and net income of €434 million. So, to give you a point of reference, our net income at the half-year point exceeds our full-year net income of the year 2007 and comes close to our full-year net income of the year 2008. You are only seeing double-digit growth rates on this page. Growth in actual currency exceeded constant currency growth, mainly due to euro weakness. Growth in EBIT and net income exceeded sales growth. We have seen continued operating margin expansion, and in Q2 ran near our all-time high with a quarterly operating margin of 16.2%. Moving to page 4 and the financial results by business segment, you see double-digit sales growth for 2 out of 4 business segments, and double-digit EBIT growth for 3 out of 4 business segments. The gold medal for sales growth and EBIT growth goes to Helios. We have seen the combined effects of, first, strong organic growth slightly north of the guided range. Second, the first-time consolidation of the acquisitions announced last year. And third, very strong margin development in our established clinics. Part of that margin development is here to stay. Part of it is one-time in nature. Stefan will get into this in more detail in his presentation. Before turning to Kabi, Helios, and Vamed, a brief word on Fresenius Medical Care. The company has made good progress in integrating the Liberty Dialysis acquisition. The 2011 acquisitions, a slight improvement in organic growth, and the improved EBIT margin contributed to a 14% increase in operating income. The company is positioned well and is a leader in shaping the future of dialysis care in the all-important North American market and providing much-needed high-quality dialysis products and services in international markets, including, in particular, emerging markets. Moving now to Kabi. Kabi has seen an outstanding second quarter and strong first half of 2012. The numbers you see fully reflect and confirm the bullish expectations we had shared with you as part of the Capital Market Day in early June. In addition to the continued effects from truck shortages in the North American market, we are seeing excellent growth outside of the U.S., including in the company's core European market. The Fenwall acquisition, which we described to you in greater detail in last week's conference call, will firmly establish Kabi as a leading global supplier in its medical devices and transfusion products business unit. As indicated last week, we have reviewed Kabi's 2015 growth targets and are pleased to announce a new 2015 sales target of about 6 billion euros and a 2015 EBIT target of greater than 1.1 billion euros. Before moving on to Helios, let me give you an update regarding our Grand Island manufacturing facility in upstate New York. No specific date has been set for reordering this plant by the FDA. All I can confirm at this point is that we are ready for such a re-audit and that we feel very good about the changes we have put in place at the site. Moving now to slide 6 and Helios. This was a tremendous first half with all operating activities coming in just right. Our first half organic growth was 5.4%, slightly north of the 3 to 5% guided range. 3.9% of that growth came from admissions, about 1.5% from pricing and mix, reflecting pretty much exactly the DRG inflator for the year 2012. The integration of our acquired hospitals is fully on track. For those of you following the German media that reported about some of our integration activities, do not get distracted by some of the labor union-driven negative headlines that appeared in Q2 as we integrated the DAMP business. We did what we had to do quickly, and that is pull up the DAMP business to our Helios operating standard and not avoid some of the difficult decisions. With most of the attention in this first half on our Rhön acquisition, it almost went unnoticed that 2012 is shaping up to be a strong year for privatizations. You can see that at the half-year mark, the privatized revenue already exceeds the full-year numbers for 2011 and 2010. There are more projects in the pipeline that will hit the market later this year. While I have no specific update for you when it comes to our failed acquisition offer for Rhön Klinikum AG, the privatization market data clearly proves that our interest in this transaction is not driven by a lack of privatization opportunities. I'm happy to confirm our continued interest in combining Helios and Rhön, but I would also like to point out that Helios has excellent prospects on its own in the German hospital market. As we are evaluating our options, we will be guided by commercial prudence. Any potential new offer needs to make commercial sense for us and have a significant chance of success. We are not trying to keep you guessing for too long, but I'm asking for your understanding that this is a complex situation and requires the necessary time and diligence to potentially identify the winning solution. With that, let me move to page 7 and Vamed. Vamed continued to perform very much in line with our expectations. Both sales and EBIT growth are exactly within the full-year guidance range. Order intake is expected to accelerate again in the second half of this year. I would like to point out the acquisition of HC Hospital Consulting in Florence, Italy. As you know, Vamed, which is the largest company in its particular industry, rarely turns to acquisitions to boost its growth. In this case, however, we found an excellent strategic fit with a company that will give us a leading position in the Italian market for the maintenance and technical management of medical equipment. Annual sales are approximately 30 million euros, and the business will be consolidated for the full year of 2012. Please note that this transaction would strengthen the much more predictable and less volatile service arm of our Vamed business, which accounts for about 35 to 45% of total revenue. Before handing it over to Stefan, a brief word on biotech. We have seen continued double-digit growth at biotech, supported by both products. Revenue for Removap increased by 17% to 2.1 million euros, and revenue for ATG increased by 13% to 14.5 million euros. I'm happy to confirm our EBIT guidance of negative 25 to negative 30 million euros for the year 2012, and would like to reiterate that we will be presenting you a long-term solution for our biotech business towards the end of this year. With this, let me hand it over to Stefan.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, good morning, a warm welcome. You heard it from Mark, another strong quarter leading to an exceptional first half. Let's start with slide 9 and the group P&L. Sales came in at 4.8 billion euros in the second quarter, and with that, constant currency growth reached an excellent 14% year-on-year. That's up from the 10% in the first quarter, leading to 12% in the first half. Within that, Q2 organic sales growth was a healthy 5%, steady quarter-on-quarter. FMC and Helios slightly up, Kabi slightly down from an exceptional first quarter. So key driver behind the acceleration of constant currency growth were closed acquisitions, Liberty at FMC and Damp at Helios. The foreign exchange tailwind blew even stronger in Q2, taking the currency effect on sales from 5% in Q1 to 7% for the first half. Based on current foreign exchange rates, I'd expect the full year effect in the magnitude of 5 to 6 extra growth points. So given our constant currency growth guidance of 12 to 14%, which I can fully reconfirm, that would take reported sales growth for the group to the very high teens. Over to EBIT, which for good order we're showing here pre the one-time expenses related to our Rhone bid. EBIT growth of 15% in the second quarter is slightly ahead of sales growth. The margin of 16.2% is up 120 basis points quarter on quarter, with meaningful improvements across all business segments. More comments in a few minutes. Corporate EBIT was minus 18 million euros in the first half, with 11 million coming from biotech. For the full year, as Mark alluded to, our EBIT guidance for biotech remains unchanged. 25 to 30 million minus, maybe more towards the minus 25 million end. And for corporate as a whole, I'd expect around minus 45 million. So pretty much in line with the 2011 level. On to net interest, which excluding the expenses related to our Rhone bid was 166 million euros in the second quarter. That's up 19 million euros from Q1. The increase is mainly driven by the incremental debt related to the Liberty and Damp acquisitions and, to a lesser degree, to currency translation effects, mitigated by lower average interest rates. I believe that Q2 is a good proxy for the coming quarters, and if you apply that expense level to the second half, you will just arrive at the around 640 million euros for the full year that I had guided you to in early May. Over to taxes, where the group tax rate came in at 31.2% in the second quarter. That's up 80 basis points from Q1 for some negative one-time effects. I do foresee some positive one-timers in the second half, and therefore would like to stick to my guidance of around 30% for the full year. takes us to net income, which was 234 million euros in Q2. That's up 14% at constant currency, very much in line with our raised guidance. And for the avoidance of doubt, that number excludes a small incremental book gain on FMC's stake in Renal Advantage, and it also excludes the expenses related to our Rhön bid. It includes, though, just in every quarter, a few special items that I will try to shed some light on in my commentary on the business segments. The balance of those is not material, though, and rather tilted towards conservatism. With that, let's move on to Kabi on slide 10. On the back of 9.5% organic growth in the first half, EBIT reached 452 million euros. That's a margin of 20.2% and an even stronger 20.8% in Q2 standalone. Now, why is the first half margin down year on year, even though North America and the emerging markets are up? Well, in Europe, we used the opportunity of Kabi's strong overall performance to expand some of the precautionary measures I had alluded to in my Q1 commentary. And that's why the Q2 margin of 19.7% is unchanged from the first quarter. And the half-year margin is down some 130 basis points year on year. But with those one-timers behind us now, I expect a meaningfully stronger margin in the second half in Europe. That should take the full-year margin beyond 20%. Well, actually, stripping out those precautionary measures, the full-year margin should be at around last year's level. Pretty much the same phenomenon applies to corporate, where we used Q2 to implement or reserve for some efficiency improvements on the manufacturing side, and those will make Kabi's business even more resilient going forward. In North America, the Q2 margin reached 42.9%, taking the half year to 41.1%, clearly, very clearly above the range of 32 to 37% for the full year I had guided you to in February. But you are familiar by now with our approach to modeling drug shortage effect. That is strictly based on the information provided on the FDA's respective website, and we feel strongly that we mustn't second-guess those data points. On that basis, we continue to believe that the current margin level is unsustainable, but we're clearly targeting a full-year margin that at least meets last year's 37%. Plus, if there are confirmed updates on the drug shortage front with a meaningful effect on us, we'll be back to you also in between our quarterly earnings calls. Finally, the emerging markets were after 21.6% margin in Q2, were nicely on track to beat last year's 20.4%. So actually, I expect the emerging market margin ahead of Europe for the first time in 2012. So let me summarize my current thinking for the full year for Kabi's margin. Europe slightly down from last year because of the half-year one-timers. North America slightly up year-on-year, the same for the emerging markets. Corporate spending up because of our first-half initiative, and for Kabi as a whole, I can therefore fully confirm our guidance of 20 to 20.5% for the full year. Now over to Helios on slide 11. With regard to sales, Mark mentioned it, we saw an even stronger organic growth in the second quarter, 6.2%, and that took the first half to a very strong 5.4%. This is, as Mark indicated, primarily driven by patient growth, and that was pretty widespread across Helios's established portfolio, but particularly strong at our larger hospitals. The EBIT margin of that established clinic portfolio was exceptionally strong last quarter. We were forced to release a meaningful provision because the underlying risk had fallen away. But that effect only reinforced the underlying operational progress we've made, resulting in widespread margin improvements across the entire clinic portfolio. At this point, let me also reconfirm that wage negotiations have been concluded. Certainly no surprises for 2012, and we also don't foresee anything out of the ordinary for next year. The effect of the release provision was moderated by the initial integration expenses at DAMP and at Duisburg. There, we've added another €7 million in expense in the second quarter. But I'm happy to confirm that all of these acquisitions are well on track, that most of the heavy lifting is behind us now, and that we expect a massive turnaround in the second half that will result in a positive EBIT for the acquired hospitals for the full year. Let's briefly touch on Vamed on slide 12, where Vamed's performance is in line with our expectations. The political situation in the Middle East, and particularly in Libya, continues to have an impact on our project business. But over and above the acquisition in Italy that Mark already commented on, Vamed's service business is in strong shape. We saw a number of service contracts with hospitals being extended, for instance in Germany, but also in Gabun. And just as Mark, I love the service business for its visibility and the lack of any volatility. Over to cash flow on 13. And cash flow was my particular Q2 highlight. Look at the bottom line, almost €600 million of operating cash flow in the group this past quarter. A key driver of this stellar result were cash inflows in excess of €100 million on overdue receivables from Spain. Both FMC and Kabi were beneficiaries of that cash inflow. On the other hand, I wasn't overly happy with cash flow at Helios. We saw some slippage in DSOs. But that issue has been tackled in the meantime, and I expect visible progress in the second half. Then I was appeased by a strong cash flow at Vamed, driven by the conclusion of one of our German PPP projects and the corresponding closing payment. For the full year, I expect cash flow margins of well above 10% for both the group and excluding Fresenius Medical Care. Let's conclude with our outlook on slide 14, where for Kabi, given that we are at 9.5% at the half year, I feel very good about the 7-9% growth guidance, just as much as for the 20-20.5% margin guidance, given my comments with regard to the 20.2% margin that we have accomplished in the first half. Given that at the half-year mark, we are even above the 5% organic growth rate at Fresenius Helios, I don't have any worries about the 3-5% growth guidance for our hospital business. €151 million of EBIT at the half-year, but do bear in mind what I did say about the acquisitions and the EBIT turnaround in the second half. Therefore, the upper end of the €310 to €320 million growth, EBIT guidance, that is absolutely achievable. We confirmed the guidance for Vamed and for biotech. So just to wrap up for the group on slide 15, we are at 12% constant currency growth for group revenue, with additional contributions coming from the acquisitions that we closed at the back end of the queue of the first quarter. Therefore, we can very much confirm our growth guidance there. At 15% net income growth after the first half, we're bang in line with our guidance. Do bear in mind what I said about the moving parts that we did have in the second quarter. But also do bear in mind that mid-August marks the anniversary of the maturity of the FMC mandatory exchangeable bond. And from then onwards, the comps are going to get a bit easier. Over and above that 14-16% net income growth at constant currency, given where we are right now, I would expect an additional foreign exchange effect to the tune of 5 extra growth points and therefore we're looking at a very, very decent year in terms of earnings growth. That concludes my part of the presentation, and Mark and I will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you so far.
We're now starting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star and two on your telephone. The first question is from Ed Ridley-Day, Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Firstly, on Europe, if in with the Kabi business, I noticed in your release that your growth there seems to have slowed slightly in the second quarter relative to the first quarter, and I wonder if you could give us some color on that for the Kabi business. The second question, Stefan, thanks very much, as always, for the clear explanation around the provisioning at Kabi, but if you could give a little bit more color on the exact precautionary provisions that you have taken in Europe, that would be also very helpful. And thirdly, if you could give us additional color on the one-off tax effects in the quarter. Thank you.
Ed, this is Mark. Let me handle the first one and then hand it over to Stefan for your second and third questions. I guess on the first one, Europe and Kabi, nothing in particular other than you've seen a very strong outperformance in the first quarter, and then the comps here in the second quarter were a little less easy. So nothing in particular. There's no real slowdown. As I look at quarter after quarter sequentially, there's no real slowdown or worsening of business conditions. So in particular, I'd like to reiterate some of the statements I made earlier about Southern Europe. I guess with the exception of Greece, we're seeing continued good, solid, organic business development there, and no particular issues. There were a few products that are on short supply in the European market that helped our growth, in particular the three-chamber nutritional system. That one is a little in short supply. We are in a position to supply the market, and hence we had a bit of an upside there. But other than that, nothing that's material in any way, shape, or form.
Ed, I don't want to go into too much detail, widespread initiatives there, including, notwithstanding the substantial cash inflow in the second quarter, a bit of extra provisioning for on the receivables front. And as far as the taxes are concerned, let me just say that Kabi, Helios, Vamed, very much in line with the guidance so far. It really originates at Fresenius Medical Care. It relates to the clinic disposals, and I'm certain that Mike, in his presentation later on, is going to provide a bit more color.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Chris Grepler, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Basically, you know, I have a question regarding Fenval, as I missed the call last week. Could you indicate what kind of organic growth or historic growth pattern over the last 5 years this business has generated? And then also, if you could give somewhat more detail on the cost structure. I understand that margins is clearly lower than at some of the competition. I was wondering, where you see, some improvement, given, your guidance on synergies. Also, I noticed that, the business has substantially higher headcount and, more sales productivity, let's say, compared to some of the competition. Could you give us an indication and, explain that, so that can understand this business, somewhat better? And lastly, on Fenval, the purchase price, did I understand correctly in the replay that you basically paid less than, what Terumo and what, Haemonetics paid, in is this also true for, EV to EBITDA multiple? That was essentially my underlying question. And then just lastly on Helios, I think in your press release you also mentioned some one-time gains, if I'm correct, in your explanation I've only, really heard about one-time costs. Did I, did not get something here? That's all.
Thanks, Chris. And let me take the Penwell questions first and then hand it over to Stefan for Helios and the margin development. Looking at the recent growth history, I think the fairest way to describe it on average is mid-single digits for the Penwell business. But things came a little lumpy. So there was a down year, but then there were also some years that were slightly better. So on average, I think mid-single digits is a good estimate, and that's also in line with what we expect from this market going forward. So it's certainly not going to be the highest growth market within the Kabi portfolio, but it is a market that is much less volatile than some of the other higher growth sectors we have at Kabi. And hence, I think it'll continue to stabilize the portfolio, albeit at a high level, because I think mid-single digits here, not exposed to the business cycle and economic downturns, is a good number on the long term. In terms of the margin upside, clearly putting the two organizations together has lots of opportunities. There is the easy one and the obvious one, and that is some overhead savings. We can create more vertical chains in our manufacturing by using some of our components that we manufacture for the Penwell products. And there are also some revenue upsides because I think the two organizations, our transfusion unit and Penwell, will basically complement each other when it comes to the product program. We're a little stronger on some of the consumables, such as blood bags. Penwell is certainly in a better position when it comes to their machine offering, which is just cutting edge. And so if you take the two together, I think it creates an exciting, comprehensive portfolio, and that has some cross-selling opportunities that go in both directions. We also have some geographic cross-selling opportunities in that Penwell, of course, is very strong in the North American market, has a presence in Europe, but certainly lags behind our presence in growth markets such as Asia-Pacific and Latin America. In terms of the multiples, I think we paid a lower price when it comes to the sales multiple than both of the transactions you have mentioned. And to my knowledge, we also paid a lower price when it comes to the EBITDA multiple compared to the Terumo transaction. Maybe not to the other one, but that may be also a reflection of where in particular their profitability was standing at the time.
Can I just follow up on the headcount, the sales productivity of this business? Is this because they do a lot, in-house already, in terms of equipment, assembly and...
That's simply a matter of, what you manufacture and how automated that is. And so clearly their organization is focused on different product groups compared to ours that have a different labor content.
Okay.
Chris, it's Stefan, and with regard to Helios, what I was mentioning is that we were forced to release a meaningful provision in the second quarter, just because the underlying risk had fallen away. But in the same way, I was also focusing on the fact that this was, to some degree, a large degree, offset by the integration cost at the newly acquired hospitals in Q2, and that going forward, relative to the 310 to 320 EBIT guidance for the full year, one shouldn't underestimate the turnaround that we do expect at Damp and Duisburg in the second half.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from Tom Jones, Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, good afternoon. I had a couple of questions, and thank you for taking them. The first question just related to Helios. 6% volume growth really is an exceptional number for an industry which across the whole of Germany is struggling to generate volume growth much above 1% or 2%. So I just really would like some thoughts from you on how sustainable you think that kind of volume growth might be and why you think you're generating such high levels of volume growth when some of your peers are struggling to generate any volume growth at all. The second question just related to your plans for the raised capital and what you may do with it if the Rhone deal doesn't progress any further from where we are here. Really just asking whether you've got any short-term or flexible debt facilities that you might be able to park some of that cash into, rather than, I guess, as you have it now, parked in fairly low-yielding money market instruments. And then the third question was just on Carby. Sequentially, growth slowed a bit against an easier comp in North America, given the situation with propofol and the dire situation of some of your competitors. I would have expected a slightly stronger number. So just wondering whether you might be able to shed a little bit of light on what's going on there.
Yeah, thanks. Let me take question one and three, and then Stefan will answer your second question. I guess on the volume growth, please note we did leave the full-year organic growth guidance unchanged at 3 to 5%. And while I would guess we're going to be towards the upper end of this, nonetheless, it is important we didn't move it. And so clearly, just the second quarter number alone, I think, is not meaningful. Looking at it on slightly longer time frames like the first half, I think, gets you closer to the truth. And there we had a 4% growth in admissions and 3.9% to be precise, and the 1.5% was pricing and mix. So how do we do it? Well, I think it's a combination of stressing our quality outcomes, which are above average for Germany, and branding our hospitals and basically driving patient admissions. So within that range, the 3 to 5%, and notably, I think for this year, towards the higher end of that, I do feel comfortable with this number. But the 6% for the second quarter alone, that I think is more one of those quarterly ups and downs that one shouldn't take too seriously. On Kabi, again, I think the propofol situation came in as a very beneficial issue for the second quarter. But then it's also important to look at relative changes compared to Q1 and Q2 2011. And so I think gemcitabine is one of those that comes to mind that made the growth somewhat more challenging in that second quarter. But still, I think under the circumstances and given what we led you to expect at the beginning of the year, you know, this is a very strong growth number. And I think with some of the data points that we gave you on our slide for Kabi, it seems to be true that the drug shortage just continues unabated, if anything, worsened slightly from the beginning of the year. And so I think that bodes well for sales development later in the year.
Perfect.
Tom, it's Stefan, and you're right. The proceeds from the capital increase are currently parked in Bund's with a pretty unsatisfactory yield. That is going to remain the case until we've reached a conclusion as to what we want to do, if anything, with regard to the Rhön situation. I think it is the best thing to wait with that. Certainly, we're not going to use all of this just to finance the Fenwall acquisition. That, in my mind, wouldn't be a very efficient application of capital. But as you've seen, we very rarely, if ever, run out of ideas. And also, maybe more specifically to your question, yes, there are a few debt instruments out there and with those we could apply some liability management exercises. But on the other hand, as I said, for the time being, I would expect the proceeds to be left in Bund.
Yeah, perfect. And maybe just one quick follow-up on the volume growth side in the hospital business. I mean, your volume growth has been pretty strong for a good 2 or 3 years now. It may be a difficult question to answer without the numbers in front of you, but what's your sense across the portfolio of how many hospitals you might be butting up against capacity issues in terms of the number of patients you can physically fit through the door, leaving you reliant on simply price and shifts in acuity to drive revenues going forward? Is that something we should have any concern with at this stage, or is that still some way off being the situation at some or more of your facilities?
It's a fair question, but honestly, this is not something I'm concerned about because this is not a digital thing where you bump up against a ceiling. I mean, when you see demand rising in a certain area of your hospital, a certain department, what you do is over time you apply for more capacity, and this is all baked into our CapEx number. So you're trying to get permits to have more capacity, you put them in place, and all of that is baked into the 4 to 5% CapEx that we spend as a percent of revenue. So this is an ongoing process, and you know, this is the best sort of growth you want to see. I mean, this is better than purchasing a new hospital, and so clearly it would be foolish not to spend the capital on a continuum basis to provide that capacity. So that one I'm less concerned about. What I'm watching is simply to be sure that the reimbursement continues to be attractive for additional capacity. And I know there have been some initiatives in the past to somewhat punish first-year growth that's above allocated budgets. But even with those penalties in place, it does make a ton of sense to drive organic growth, because on a second and third year basis, it's a very profitable proposition to continue to grow the size of your hospital organically as hard as you can.
Tom, if I may, one additional comment. I cannot stress enough the importance of the average length of stay as a key performance indicator. And if you track that back, you find that information or in each of our quarterly presentations, then you will find that there is a steady decrease. So in line with the volume growth, you will find a decrease of the average length of stay, and therefore that takes good care of many of the capacity constraints.
Perfect. Thanks. That's all very helpful. I'll jump back in the queue.
Xavi, as we are running into time constraints, we can take one more question.
Very good. The next question is from Jonathan Bianchi, Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi there, Jonathan Beek here from Citi in London. I just had a couple of questions. I wanted to focus on the European growth at Kabi again. When I look at it, the 7% average constant currency growth for H1 strikes me as above market growth, and I just wanted to know whether you could tell me exactly how you're achieving that, whether it's particular products that are growing strongly or territories, and also whether you can split out what of that is pricing and what is volume. And then secondly, also on Kabi in Europe, back in 2010, we had some of the branded pharma companies refusing to accept the prices that were being set in Greece. I just wondered whether you're seeing anything like this in southern European territories, or whether you think it's heading that way, and whether you can benefit from branded pharma exiting those territories or refusing to sell into them.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. I guess on the growth number for Europe, again, it was exceptional for Q1 alone. But then on the half-year period, I think it's slightly above average, but not extremely so. So in the past, you know, 5 or 6% was a pretty regular accomplishment, and now 7% is slightly above that, but not wildly. And the one extraordinary issue I was pointing out earlier is some of the shortages we're seeing on free chamber bags. And so, you know, this certainly contributes to the 7%. Other than that, in terms of geographies or other issues, nothing really special to point out. But again, it's not that far from where we've been in the past in normal half-year or full-year periods. So I'm quite comfortable with something near to that number for the remainder of this year. In terms of you know, Southern Europe and branded pharma companies, I don't think there are particular additional opportunities here, because we really do operate in different spaces. And I also think that our product range has never been as much the target of some of these healthcare savings initiatives as branded pharma products. We mostly contract directly with hospitals and large doctors' offices for the products we sell. The pricing gets agreed directly between us and them, and there's not much in terms of a national healthcare initiative to kind of set the pricing for simple products such as infusion solutions or nutritional products. So I think we're pretty much under the radar screen, and frankly, rightly so, because these products do not make or break a government healthcare budget. They're essential healthcare staples, and they need to be there to do a good job in healthcare. But this will not fix the government budget in any particular area in any meaningful way. So no upsides from some of the private pharma troubles, but also no downsides going forward. I think you will continue to see healthy organic growth in most southern European countries for our product range.
Thank you.
Okay, and with that, thanks for joining the call, thanks for your question, and well, goodbye and have a good day.
Thanks, and talk to you next quarter.
Thank you.